Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of August 12th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So, D.R., it's 99 and a half degrees in the shade today. Did you notice that?
Yes, yes.
It was not only 99 and a half degrees, it was like 99.9% humidity here in the Boston area. We really are getting socked with some hot weather.
I think it was Stephen Colbert who made the joke that it's so hot you can fry an egg on the sidewalk, but why would you want to fry an egg on the sidewalk?
Well, of course it is August, and we're back to hot weather stories, but this is really, really pretty hot, and I guess it is, this old, I don't know if it's a myth anymore, but the idea that you can't connect any particular event to climate change is true, well, generally speaking. So a hot weather run like this could have happened anyway, but man, it is seriously hot out there. And I think it's, as we keep saying, it's a taste of the new normal. We've got
exactly. The new abnormal, as I call it.
New abnormal. I mean, people are, so I've been a runner most of my life, right? And I have not run in thunderstorms, and I have chosen to not run in snow. And I think today, for the first time in my life, I chose not to run because it was just too hot. I didn't see any reason to go out and have heat stroke at noontime on the hottest day of the year.
Good point.
I think that the but it's hot. It's a taste of things to come. And one of the things that struck me today was that at the place where I work, it's a manufacturing facility, fairly power hungry, but they were one of the first on the list. With the local utility to turn the power down in the middle of the afternoon so that the power could go to other users, particularly home air conditioners. And it just seemed like what's the – everyone that I work with didn't miss a beat, right? The power was dimmed down. It's just what you did. We were acting as a society, right, that this was the way we manage our energy. And I was just thinking that – you know, humans as a species, I mean, this is a huge leap, but right, the idea that we're going to turn down the power on hot days just represents humanity acting in concert for the common good. Mm-hmm. And isn't that a model for all of addressing all of climate change, right?
Definitely. I mean,
it's so did they turn down the power where you were today, D.R.?
Actually, the power was still on as normal.
All right. So I mean, but I think that the other thing that's going on here in Massachusetts, which is probably more directly linked to climate because it's a longer term event, is that we're having one of the most severe droughts on record. Right? It's like 99% of the state is in a drought pattern. And again, Massachusetts, you know, there are droughts, there are dry times, there are wet times, but this is another kind of extreme that's consistent with evolving climate change, a warming world.
And it's definitely having a severe, you know, impact on those who live in the most affected areas. I mean, it's like, you know, when is there going to be an end? Is there any end in sight? And there, it's fairly obvious that the answer is no end in sight.
Well, I think that I mean, there are places in Boston where air conditioning is not that common. You have all these sort of brick houses. It's hot as blazes. People have no place to go, and it can become a health issue. So, I mean, again, people listening to this podcast have been, you know, realize these things, but it's just, you know, as a society, how are we going to come around to managing? I mean, Boston, they had all the heat shelters open today, right? So places you could go. If you get enough money, you go to the movies and sit in the movies and try and chill out for a few hours. But it's a strange deal. Strange deal.
Yep.
So tell me, DR, the other thing that, speaking of humanity acting as a species, down in a country called Brazil. They've been playing some games lately, I've heard.
Yes.
Tell me, what's been going on down down there in Rio de Janeiro?
Well, at the start of the at the opening ceremony of the 2016 Olympics, according to Think Progress, roughly 3.3 billion people watched the opening ceremony. And as part of the ceremony, there was a segment by the director Fernando Meirelles, who made the movie The Constant Gardener with Ralph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz, basically discussing the impact of human-caused climate change and the melting of the polar ice caps and how it's going to affect countries such as Amsterdam, Dubai, the United States. It's going to affect all these places around the world. And it was just I haven't been able to see the whole segment, but from what I understand, it was a very well done segment. Obviously, it got the deniers all ticked off because they basically threw a hissy fit on the internet. And as Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen of the Green News Report noted, that it's probably the most mainstream science has been aired on network television in years. So that was a great part of it as well.
So, I mean, I guess I'm struggling with the question of why, as part of that very important moment for the country of Brazil, they chose to include that message. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it noble, you know, a noble thing for the planet, since the Olympics are, if nothing, the Olympics are a global event, mm-hmm. right? Or is it, do you think there's some local Brazilian aspect of this they were trying to tout? I did not see the segment either, but I think that, as you say, it's important enough to note that it happened. Mm-hmm. Right? And why would you queue up a climate change video in front of 3 billion people?
I think it was to make the point, and I think Think Progress alludes to it, that, you know, as the planet gets hotter, we could be looking at a time where it will not be safe to have a Summer Olympics, where the level of heat and the level of, you know, extreme weather will be of such an extent that it will not be safe for these athletes to compete, because they could have heat stroke, they could have all kinds of health impacts, mm-hmm. that we could be looking at, in fact, potentially the last days of the Summer Olympics, as dramatic as that might sound, if we don't, you know, do something to sort of literally protect the Olympics by protecting our environment.
Isn't there some sort of world, maybe it's already happened, the World Cup thing was going to happen in Dubai in the summertime? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just going to be 120 degrees, and they're going to play a soccer game outdoors in 120 degree heat.
Yeah, I mean, that's just suicidal. I mean, I'm sorry.
But I think it's not a crazy point that the human body cannot function well at temperatures much above 120 degrees, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even with a little bit of humidity, that's essentially like sitting inside of a sauna all day. Right? Mm-hmm. If I love sitting in a sauna for about 5 minutes, but then but to be there all day and have no relief from that is life threatening, and it's not that many degrees away from where we are average now. I mean, we're sort of looking at 90 degree days. Can you imagine if in fact in the Boston area there really was a 120 degree day? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's an extreme over the next century, but maybe 200 years from now, who knows? And
exactly.
these are devastating kinds of prospects for people.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about, you know, extreme heat and the athletic and how it can affect athletes, you know, when you read back about you know how Caesar's Palace always used to have the big time boxing fights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so especially back when Larry Holmes was champion, sometimes he would have to have title defenses in 100 degree heat outside in Caesar's Palace. Could you imagine if it got up to 110, 120 degrees, trying to have a title fight, trying to have any kind of athletic event take place in those conditions? You would quite literally have a rising death toll.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's. Oh, man. Well, that's why we have to invent getting more clean energy. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. one of the issues is just adapting, right? You need enough clean energy to have air conditioning without just being in a cycle where you use dirty power to air condition the air, which just makes the air hotter.
Exactly.
Well, I guess, I mean, the other thing I wanted to mention, DR, is maybe a more happy thing, is that, in fact, see, this is, we're looking at the 11th, 12th, 13th of August. What mm-hmm. typically happens around this time of year is the Perseid meteor shower. Mm-hmm. The Perseid meteor shower is, as it turns out, is when the Earth passes through a range of space that is populated by basically a meteor that got, I don't know, blown up or pulled apart a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And all those little stones shoot into the earth, and it, all of a sudden you see what amounts to a shower. You see something like one meteor a minute if you time yourself right. Mm-hmm. Turns out this year, for various reasons, not the least of which being that I guess our friend the planet Jupiter has shepherded more of the particles into our way, it's supposed to be almost twice as bright as usual, twice mm-hmm. as frequent. And so I urge people to get out. I guess it's the night of the 11th, the night of the 12th. You get out when the moon is set or hasn't come up yet. You look northeast into the constellation Perseus, which is where this thing seemed to emanate from. It's kind of cool. But I guess the real reason I mention it is this, DR, is that seeing some, for climate hawks especially, who are certainly intellectually connected to the planet, mm-hmm. but they recognize the threat of fossil fuels, they understand that there's this planetary dynamic, the sun's coming in and all this stuff. It's good once in a while to go out and actually experience the planet. Mm-hmm. Right? You see this meteor coming in and you say, all right, this ball we're on is flying through space and it just collided with a particle that has been out there for billions and billions of years. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you a sense, I mean, almost as, for me anyway, it's kind of this mystical connection to why you're involved in the climate movement to begin with. Because mm-hmm. you're a finite being on a finite planet moving through a vast and empty space, and here's proof of it.
Exactly.
The same thing is true. I put up a post a couple of years ago about the winter solstice and the summer solstice as being mm-hmm. these magic moments where, as a climate hawk, you can connect with this planetary permanent thing, right? When mm-hmm. the day and the night, the shortest day, the shortest night. I mean, these are things that are really meaningful in a sense that transcends, I think, a lot of other stuff. So that's my homily for today. Are you going to go watch the Perseid meteor shower? Have you ever seen any of the meteors? Have you seen a meteor? You must have seen a meteor.
I can't recall off the top of my head, but it's the first time for everything.
I think you should go out. I don't know. It's kind of hazy out. It's going to be hazy out tonight. But mm-hmm. really, I mean, if you see a meteor, the shooting star kind of thing, it really is thrilling. I mean, it's gone in a flash. And you say, did I see something there? Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, DR, that's my advice for you this week. I'm going to check next week and ask you to see if you went out and saw a meteor, okay?
Okay.
So please take the action item.
Definitely.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll put up links to most of what we talked about on the blog. It's at massclimateaction.net/blog. You can catch us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. Please share the show with your friends so they too can find out about us. You can listen to the show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. Stitcher, it turns out, is a quite good way to get a lot of podcasts. Not that mm-hmm. I want to send anybody to different podcasts, but there's lots of interesting podcasts there. You can also find us on iTunes. You have to search for Massachusetts Climate Action under the podcast heading. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
I wish you the best of luck seeing the meteors.
Same here.
And thanks to everyone. Everyone else, get out and take a look at the Perseid meteor showers. They'll be up there for until at least the 15th, 16th, once in a while, okay? Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.